For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Shalom, and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions in Hickson, Tennessee. I am Aaron Broughton, your host for today, sitting in for Mr. John Lawrence. Today we have the privilege of having Brother Ed Frampton, who serves as the president here at IBJM. Welcome to the program, Brother Frampton.
Thank you, Aaron.
Well, you have been working here with IBJM now for several years. How long have you been working with IBJM now?
Actually, my family and I came to IBJM in 1997, which is 16 years ago. And we, of course, at that time were missionary candidates. We came and served with IBJM, eventually going to South Africa as missionaries in 2000, end of 2000, and served there as church planting missionaries in the Jewish community there in Johannesburg, South Africa. So 16 years, Aaron.
Well, wonderful. Well, praise the Lord for that. Well, I guess even before then, how did you develop a burden for the Jewish people?
I was raised in church and then came to know the Lord as my Savior in my teens. And shortly after that, I began really meeting a lot of Jewish people, as God would have it. And beginning first with my employment, I was in the textile industry for 17 years. And in the textile industry, there are a lot of Jewish people involved in that. So a lot of my fellow coworkers, managers, and so forth were Jewish men and ladies. And they were a great blessing. I developed a real burden to witness to these folk and to be a friend and to really love them, recognizing from my childhood that they were part of God's chosen people. And then not only with my employment, but even with my education, later on in life, as I got closer to surrendering to the Lord in the vocational ministry, I actually was sent to college by a Jewish man who was not a believer, but took a personal interest in me. And through the blessing of how God had blessed him, I was able to finish a college that I never would have attempted to go to because of the expense. And he paid everything, all my books and the tuition for all that. And I graduated with degrees in business. So they were very involved in my education and a great blessing to me. And that just increased the burden, you know, and the love for those folk as they were a blessing to me. And then I actually lived and ministered among Jewish people. Where I lived for 10 years was in a home of a couple that was Jewish, and the Lord then has used them in a great way. They're now with the Lord, and it helped to guide my life. And through that contact is where I met Dr. Gardenhouse and IBJM, and eventually God leading. So really, I developed it over many years.
Well, that's amazing, seeing how the Lord has worked in your life. Is there maybe a special Bible verse or a passage that helped you really understand the need to reach Jewish people with the gospel?
I was guided to Lamentations, where Jeremiah, the prophet, called the weeping prophet, was crying out for his people and the burden for the destruction of his people. And in that scripture, and I'll read it here, it says in verse number 49 of Lamentations 3, "Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission, till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city." And then it goes on to speak about how that Jeremiah in this scripture had a great burden as he saw the destruction of the people there as the armies came in. And I thought, you know, the greatest thing that we can give the Jewish people today to help them and to save them from destruction and even eternal destruction is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, that's great. And perhaps there's someone even in our listening audience today who has a burden to reach Jewish people. We invite you to contact us here at IBJM. You can call us at area code 423-876-8150 or visit our website at IBJM.org. We'll be happy to help you with more information. Well, now with that in mind, let's open our Bibles and our hearts as we study together with our teacher and Jewish believer, Brother Mark Oshman.
Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast. Our study of Jacob's deathbed prophecies, found in Genesis chapter 49, will continue. We will look at what Jacob said about his sons Gad, Asher, Naphtali, and Benjamin. Before Jacob got to speaking about the progeny of his sons, he interjected a seemingly off-topic statement, quote, "I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord," unquote. Why would Jacob make such a declaration at that particular time? Furthermore, what did Jacob mean by the term salvation? Genesis chapter 49 contained the first occurrence of the Hebrew noun Yeshua, translated as salvation. That term had a wide variety of applications. Yeshua, for example, could refer to physical deliverance from peril. Moses employed the word in that sense when, in the 14th chapter of Exodus, he exhorted his Jewish compatriots to, quote, "stand still and see the salvation of the Lord," unquote. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, members of King Saul's armed forces used the same term in connection with Saul's son Jonathan to undertaking action that led to triumphs over the Philistine forces. When used metaphorically, though, the word Yeshua could denote deliverance from the penalty of sin. In Isaiah chapter 49, God stated that he intended for his Messiah to, quote, "be my salvation unto the end of the earth," unquote. The context of that passage, God's restoration of Israel. The context of that passage suggested that the salvation that God mentioned referred to spiritual redemption. Jacob's exclamation in Genesis 49 about waiting for God's salvation appeared to refer to his own metaphysical expectations in connection with his internal destiny. Jacob lay in no external physical danger when he spoke those words, yet he knew that he was going to die. Soon he would make the transition from the physical world into the world of the afterlife. He therefore took the opportunity on his deathbed to proclaim his reliance upon God and his belief that God would accept him. From that point, Jacob resumed his discourse about the destiny of his son's descendants. In connection with Gad, Jacob said, quote, "a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last," unquote. Note that, according to Genesis chapter 30, the name Gad came from a word that did mean troop. Along with the descendants of Reuben and those of Manasseh, Gad's progeny settled on the east side of the Jordan River. The three tribes built an altar in that location, according to Joshua 22, an act that almost led to war against the other Israelite tribes. A number of Gadites attached themselves to David when he fled from King Saul into the wilderness. The author of 1 Chronicles chapter 12 described them as, quote, "men of might and men of war fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions and were as swift as the roes upon the mountains," unquote. Jacob noted that a troop would overcome Gad's descendants. This event may have occurred during Jeremiah's time, according to Jeremiah chapter 49. In that chapter, God issued this prophecy about the Ammonites, quote, "Hath Israel no sons? Hath he no heir? Why then doth their king inherit Gad, and his people dwell in their cities?" Unquote. When the Assyrian armies invaded Israel a few years later, they conquered the territory inhabited by the three Israelite tribes east of the Jordan River. On that occasion, a troop actually did overcome Gad. Yet, Jacob in Genesis 49 remarked that Gad, quote, "shall overcome at last," unquote. The narrative found in Revelation 7 mentioned 12,000 servants of God sealed from the tribe of Gad. Ezekiel chapter 48 contained an account of territory assigned to that tribe during the latter days. It appeared, therefore, that Gad did indeed regain both its identity and its territory. After this, Jacob turned his attention to Asher. He said, quote, "out of Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties," unquote. The language that Jacob used suggested that the territory assigned to Asher produced not merely the necessities of life, but luxuries as well. Moses suggested a similar future for the Asherites in Deuteronomy chapter 33. He said, quote, "let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil," unquote. The tribe of Asher lived on the northern seacoast of Israel. Their territory included part of the fertile plain of Esdraelon. Perhaps they assisted the Zebulunites in their maritime endeavors by providing agricultural products to be exported to other countries. Jacob spoke these words about Naphtali in Genesis chapter 49. Quote, "Naphtali is a hind let loose. He giveth goodly words," unquote. The Hebrew word for hind, ayil, denoted a large ram rather than a delicate doe. The use of that word implied that the descendants of Naphtali had the power to defend themselves against aggressors. Solomon, in the 5th chapter of Proverbs, likened the wife to a loving hind. This usage suggested that the descendants of Naphtali, as a hind, would enjoy harmonious relationships with other groups. A hind can traverse slippery terrain. In Psalm 18, David exclaimed that God, quote, "maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places," unquote. Perhaps Jacob's words in Genesis 49 alluded to the security that Naphtali's prodigy would experience, even during perilous times. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, Moses depicted the tribe of Naphtali as, quote, "satisfied with favor and full of the blessing of the Lord," unquote. Some Jewish writers opine that Naphtali's descendants usually brought the first fruits of their increase to the temple before any of the other Israelite tribes did, thus becoming the first group to receive the priestly blessings. Benjamin, Jacob's youngest son, had a special place in his father's affections. According to Genesis chapter 42, Jacob refused to allow Benjamin's brothers to take him to Egypt with them, fearing that something evil might happen to Benjamin. Nonetheless, according to Genesis chapter 49, Jacob described Benjamin as a wolf. Such a designation implied that Jacob spoke about his sons as a prophet, not as a father. Jacob said this about Benjamin, quote, "In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil," unquote. Such a statement implied both the warlike nature of Benjamin's descendants and that tribe's aggressiveness in conquest. An incident recorded in the 20th chapter of Judges reveals how warriors from the tribe of Benjamin defeated a coalition of the other Israelite tribes, despite being greatly outnumbered, and did so on two separate occasions. A number of Benjamin's progeny served as successful military leaders as well. Ehud, one of the earliest judges of Israel, led a revolt against the armies of Eglon, the king of Moab. Jonathan, the oldest son of King Saul, led the Israelite armies to victory over the Philistines. The author of 2 Chronicles referred to a descendant of Benjamin, a man named Eliada, as, quote, "a mighty man of valor," unquote. Eliada commanded 200,000 men in support of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Jacob's statement in Genesis 49 about Benjamin ravening as a wolf implied that that son's progeny would exercise cruelty when they interacted with other people. Consider the example of Paul, who came from the tribe of Benjamin, and what Paul did before he became a Christian. Paul was described as a persecutor of Christians. Luke in Acts 9 used these words. Paul was, quote, "breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord," unquote. Paul himself in 1 Timothy chapter 1 said that he was, quote, "a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious," unquote. The ferocity of that apostle's pre-salvation actions would fit Jacob's forecast about how Benjamin's descendants would act as predators. Jacob had a special blessing to bestow upon Joseph, described as the son of his old age. Tune in to the final session of this series to learn about this benediction.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee, 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.